I'm a graver believer, I'm an alcoholic, and my name is Ron.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, everybody. I'd like to say a little prayer before we get started here, if you don't mind. Thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to teach. Just help me to be a channel of your communication and help me to just stay out of the way of that and to say what needs to be said and for you to communicate what you know needs to be said. So I just thank you, I love you, and I praise you tonight in your precious name. Amen. Amen. So tonight is lesson 23 on give. And just so you know, we have 25 lessons total. Just how this thing works, we have 25 lessons. This thing goes a year, and so 1 week we have a lesson, and then the next week we have a testimony from somebody in recovery that tells their story and how they recovered. And so obviously we're coming to the end of our series. We'll have two more teachings, and then we'll start back with teaching number one. So we're getting towards the end of, if you've followed with us or gone through the steps ever and whatnot, well, then you know you're that we're getting towards the end, as I said. We'll start with reading this, also getting to the end of the principles. There's 8 principles and 12 steps that we study here. And I would highly recommend, if you get a chance, to take the step studies that are offered. And it really, to me, just helps get involved and really kind of puts it into high gear, and to learn the steps and be with other people doing the same. And it really, to me, it makes a huge difference. But those will be on a separate night, and you'll just see when the next one starts. I think they just started one, and we're just ending one, as a matter of fact. In fact, we're pretty much running pretty along the line of the lessons. So the last principle is principle 8. Yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Matthew 5:10. And step 12, the last step, having had a spiritual experience as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently, but watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Galatians 6:1. So, again, on the steps, there's 12 of them, obviously. This is the last one. We work in succession, 1 through 12. I'll explain step 12 a little bit. Says, having had a spiritual experience as the result of these steps. So by this time, we've worked the 12 steps, and we're working now, looking into working the last step, the 12th step. So hopefully by now, with the other steps, you've had some sort of spiritual experience, or whatever that may mean to you, that you're getting it, you're well into your recovery, and that. So the next thing says, and we try to carry this message to others and to practice these principles in all our affairs. So this gets into the give part, where we try to carry this message to others. What we've learned and gained from the steps, we now can turn around and help other people who are just coming in and starting out. And it's sort of a training, I guess, if you will. And the same with the principles. We have worked your way through these, and now you've got something to offer. Hopefully, you've been in recovery. You're doing well from your hurts, habits, and hangovers, as I say. And so you've got something to offer the new person that walks in that door. And you do that. We take action. I think that if God had to choose his favorite principle, he would choose principle 8. Why do I think principle 8 is God's favorite? Because it is putting our faith into action. God's word tells us in James 2:17, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Active faith is important to God. Don't get me wrong, works are not going to save you. Only faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior can do that. It is through our actions, however, that we demonstrate to God and others the commitment we have to our faith in Jesus Christ. So tonight we are going to begin to work on principle 8. The corresponding step is step 12, the carrying the message step, the giving back step. What is giving back all about? What does it truly mean to give? Principle 8 does not tell us to give in an unhealthy way, ways that would hurt us or cause us to relapse into our codependent behaviors. No, Principle 8 is talking about healthy, non-codependent giving of oneself without the slightest trace of expecting to receive back. Remember, no person has ever been honored for what they have received. Honor has always been a reward for what someone gave. Matthew 10:8 sums it up. Freely you have received, freely give. In principle 8, we yield ourselves to be used by God to bring this good news to others, both by our example and our words. So what does that mean? Freely you have received, freely give. To me, when we get, this is a give and take thing, and when we get here, we take, which is fine. That's why we're here. We're here to learn. We're here to get help. Our life isn't going so well. Usually, by the time we get here, it takes a lot of courage to come in the door and admit some things maybe that are going on in our life and whatnot. But we've decided to take some action, so we come in here to receive, to get, to learn. So there's give and take in everything. So and it's okay to be a taker for a while and take what you can get, take what the steps are offering and the people, and then hopefully we get to a point, as I said earlier, then where we turn around and give it to others, and that's the way that we hopefully will live our life and giving. And I kind of cut my teeth in recovery in AA many years ago because CR wasn't here. And I would watch people. One thing I could tell in there, when we'd have a one-year anniversary or two-year, whatever, we'd usually have a cake and pass in our small groups. We'd pass a card around for people to sign. When we kind of got the meeting started and whatnot. And I could tell when people are new. You know, it's kind of, oh yeah, right. You pass the card. You know, I'm glad you people are having so much fun with your little cake. But once you're there a while, and I would see people, you know, the lights kind of come on and the eyes change a little bit, and when they'd sign that card, and just a little thing like that. I mean, just by giving a little, you know, glad you've been here, happy birthday, or whatever, and I would see the change start to happen in people. And that was one little thing that I just sort of noticed back then. Give. It is in principle 8 and step 12 we learn what it means to truly give. Give, for our acrostic tonight, if you've got your paper there, G is God first, I becomes we, V is victories shared, and E is example of your actions. So we'll kind of cover this acrostic. The G stands for God first. When you place God first in your life, you realize that everything you have is a gift from Him. You realize that your recovery is not dependent or based on material things. It is built upon your faith and your desire to follow Jesus Christ's direction. Romans 8:32 says that God did not even keep back his own son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his son. Will he not also freely give us all things? We are never more like God than when we give. Not just money or things, but our very selves. That's what Jesus did for us. He gave us the greatest gift of all, himself. And I can't express this enough. If we can get God first in our life, then everything, you know, and as Christians, a lot of this stuff to me is just teaching me how to be a better Christian, and we should be putting God. If I put God first, in my marriage, in my home, in my work, and all things kind of flow evenly out from there, and things work well. When I get back into myself and what's in it for me, and take, things don't go so well, and I have to, you know, bang my head against that wall for a while, and then realize, you know, hey, it's about God. It's not about me. It's about God. And so it just, and it holds well here the same. 1 John 4:8 says, God is love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so if God is love, then what's the example, you know, that he's given? And what does he do? What does he give? Well, he's just given, you know, the most precious thing. You know, he's saved us and given us eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. And so through his giving and proving his love, him being love, I mean, that is our, I mean, that's just, you know, emulate God. And I didn't realize, you know, kind of putting this together, and that when God gave that action of giving his son, time, history, it changed history, and we actually set our time by that. I mean, it's not a little deal. I think it gets trivialized or whatever to some degree, but it was huge. And it still is, and we have a, you know, we have a piece of that. I mean, we, that, you know, we're there. So again, God first. The second letter in give is I. When we give, the I becomes we. None of the steps or principles begin with the word I. The very first word in step one is we. In fact, the word we appears in the 12 steps 14 times. The word I never appears even once in any of the 12 steps. The road to recovery is not meant to be traveled alone. This is not a program to be worked in isolation. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Matthew 22:37-39. When you have reached this step in your recovery and someone asks you to be a sponsor or to be an accountability partner, do it. The rewards are great, and being a sponsor or an accountability partner is one way to carry the message. Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 makes this concept of giving very clear. Two are better off than one because together they can work more effectively. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone, there is no one there to help him. Two men can resist an attack that would defeat one man alone. And I like that verse. And in our step study, like I say, we were just we're just at that point doing lesson 23, and so they have questions in here and whatnot, and I want to read my answer to one of the questions, and I felt because it just talks about working with others, and others can do things and see things and help us in ways. If we're just all by ourselves, it's kind of a joke in A. This guy called. He was in his house alone and starting to quit drinking. And he called his sponsor and said, "I'm having a problem." And he said, "What's going on?" He says, "I'm at my house alone." He says, "Get the heck out of there! You're there with a killer," you know. So, but it's just we're here to help. And until I had kind of a long struggle getting sober because I just wanted to do it my way, and I didn't, you know. Thank you very much, but I don't want your big book, and I'll do this myself. I've done, you know, we kind of get this specially. You know, it's John Wayne effect, you know, we're going to do it ourselves and pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps and blah, blah, blah. And God just didn't design it that way. So anyway, Ecclesiastes 4:9 tells us that two are better than one, lists specific instances in your own recovery that you have seen this verse in action. So I wrote, the verse refers to resisting an attack. When I was first trying to get sober, I hit the wall, as usual, and just felt the compulsion so bad to drink that I was going to go get a drink. But I actually did something that I was asked to do. That was call my sponsor before I go had my drink. So I called my sponsor first to tell him. In my mind, though, really, it was actually a Dear John call just to say goodbye to him and thanks a lot, you know, like everybody else, you know. But he totally blindsided me and started to yell and scream at me to go to a meeting and find a newcomer and introduce myself to him and ask him if there was anything I could help him with. Then he just hung up on me. I was so upset at the way I was treated that I did what he asked me to do just so I could call him back and yell at him and tell him how full of blank his advice was. But in the end result, I could yell at him because it worked. And that began my 30-year sober journey at that point. And I grew to love that man more than anything. I talked to him today. He's getting older and whatnot, but he's still my sponsor. And but that's what it took for me. And am I saying you can come in here and you all can be lucky enough to get this grouchy old man sponsor to call that's going to yell and scream at you and then just hang up on you and leave you dangling? No, but you know, if you come around here and do what we do, work the steps and try your best, I know God will put the people in your life that will tell you just as important things. Maybe not in that. God knew what I needed. God knew I needed somebody to just tell me to. He there was a lot more of his, you know, what he had said, which wasn't very, you know, was not some nice words, but that worked for me, and God knew that. I mean, God knew who to put in my life, because I had been 8 years in and out of AA, in and out of church, in and out of drinking till I couldn't stand it, and then staying sober till I couldn't stand it. I would be stark raving sober, as they call it. And I just figured that's just the way it would be. I would die that way. It would just, you know. And I'd had sponsors. I'd had meetings, I'd work steps and whatnot, it just wouldn't click. So sometimes it works fast for some people, which is great. Some of us just, like I say, have to hit our head against the wall over and over, but finally God hanging in really the booze did me in. But thank God for him, or I don't think I'd be here today. So it's working with others, my example. The third letter stands for V, for victories shared. God never, 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 ever wastes a hurt. He can take our hurts and use them to help others. Principle 8 gives us the opportunity to share our experiences, victories, and hopes with one another. Deuteronomy 11:2 tells us to remember what we've learned about the Lord through our experiences with him. We start off by saying, this is how it was for me. This is the experience of what happened to me. This is how I gained the strength to begin my recovery, and there's hope for you. 2 Corinthians 1:3 encourages us to give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the merciful Father, the God from whom all help comes. He helps us in all our troubles so that we are able to help others who have all kinds of troubles using the same help that we ourselves have received from God. All the pain, all the hurt that my 24 years of abusing alcohol caused, all the destruction that I caused to myself and to those I loved, finally made sense when I got to Principle 8 and Step 12. I finally understood Romans 8:28. We know that all that happens to us is working for our good if we love God and are fitting into his plans. He called me according to his plans, and because I answered God's call, I can stand here as an example that God works all things for good according to his purpose. To God be the glory. I want to spend the rest of my life doing recovery work. You know, though, it's not really work. It's service, a service of joy. What people don't realize, when you've been through this, no matter what you come in here with, gambling, drinking, porn, overeating, codependency, and you go through the step study and you go to CR and recovery and you get on the other side, you are unique. You are now unique. You now have something to offer people, the new people coming in, that a lot of people don't have. And you've been there. You've done that. You can speak. In AA, they have a thing, one alcoholic talking to another alcoholic, because we understand each other. We know each other, and you can't con me. You can't give me your excuses. You can't give me your denials. We want to get better, yeah, but yet for some reason we still want to have some excuse to live our crazy life and do the crazy stuff that we do for whatever reason. I don't know. Just like my sponsor had to get in my face about it and just get out the self-pity, all the stuff that I would go back drinking over and whatnot. So, and you're that person. If you've been here and recovered, you've got a testimony to tell. You've got experience. It worked for you. Whatever worked for you, it'll work for somebody else, and you're there to guide them and help them. And you can do that in a way that a psychiatrist can't do, a doctor can't do, the police can't do. You can, because you're there. You've been there, done that. So that's the deal, and then that's why we give. And it's a part of the deal. It's a part of the recovery. It's as big as part as anything. We've taken, we've learned, we've become better, and now we turn around and give it. And when I got the lesson on give, I thought, oh, geez, give. Why can't I have forgiveness or one of these? But really, when I got to thinking, give, giving back, when you make that turn, when I see people make that turn and sign that card and go from coming and taking and this and that and actually giving of themselves and helping others and whatnot, that's the turn. I mean, then those are the people that succeed and go on. And the others, I guess, go off and do whatever. But so it's a big deal. This thought leads us to the last letter, E, for example. Example of your actions. You all know that your actions speak louder than your words. Good intentions die unless they're executed. In James 1:22, we are exhorted to be doers of the word. But in order to be of help to another, we are to bring the good news to others. That's what step 12 says. It doesn't say to bring a little good news or to bring good news only to others who are in recovery. You have all heard the term Sunday Christians. Let us not become just Wednesday night recovery buffs. Words, action, works, actions, not words, are proof of your love for God and another person. Faith without works is like a car without gasoline. 1 John 3:18 says, "My children, love must not be a matter of words or talk. It must be genuine and show itself in action." Love is action. Love is doing something for somebody and helping somebody. I like that saying, what he does speaks so loud, I can't hear a word he says. Giving and serving is a thermometer of your love. You can give without loving. That's what we sometimes do in a codependent relationship. Or we give because we feel we have to. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. The Lord spreads his message through the 8 principles and the 12 steps. We are the instruments for delivering the good news. The way we live will show others our commitment to our program, to our Lord, and to them. I would like to leave you with Luke 8:16-19 from the Message. No one lights a lamp and then covers it with a wash tub or shoves it under the bed. No, you set it up on a lampstand so those who enter the room can see their way. We're not hiding things. We're bringing everything out into the open. So be careful that you don't become misers. Generosity begets generosity. Bring the good news with joy. Thank you all very much for listening tonight.